Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When Grammy-winning groups like Arcade Fire and Bon Iver go looking for a sax player to bring on tour, they look no further than Colin Stetson. But Stetson is more than just a rock-steady hired gun. His solo career includes a trilogy of mesmerizing albums entitled New History Warfare. The third and final installment is just out, and it's called To See More Light. Colin Stetson is here to perform two pieces from that album for us today. And as you listen to this, keep in mind, there's one guy, one saxophone, here in the studio today. He's not using any loops, no pedals, no other effects. It's Colin Stetson with a live performance on Soundcheck of a piece called Among the Seth.
The
That is Colin Stetson, sax player and composer, and a song called Among the Ceph, which appears on his latest record, New History Warfare Volume 3, subtitled To See More Light. If you're wondering how one guy and one sax, without effects, without loops or pedals or delays, can do that, well, last time Colin was here, we shot some video. You can watch that on our website, soundcheck.org. Colin, good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me, John.
I always expect you to be like...
Well, thanks for that.
So that was like a good 6 or 7 minutes without coming up for air. That's done through the technique of circular breathing.
Yes, it is.
But there's other stuff. Circular breathing... meaning that you basically treat your mouth like a bagpipe, right?
Exactly.
Fill
your mouth
cheeks
and
with air.
Your throat is like the bag of a bagpipe.
Right.
And
and then there's also multiphonics, you know, getting the instrument to do two things, two notes simultaneously.
Well, at the very least, I'm trying to coax quite a bit out of there.
Right. And singing through it and stuff.
Singing through it.
So there are various ways that you can do this. Now, did you learn these techniques from the jazz or classical avant-garde, or did you listen to like North African or Southeast Asian music where these are hundreds and thousands of years old?
I mean, I picked them all up on my way through music, so all sorts of places. Circular breathing was the first thing to come. At 15, a teacher of mine taught me how to do it because he said it would be easier at 15 than it was when, at 25 when he was learning. Mm. And he was right. It's actually very simple. I think most things are simple for you when you're 15. But things like vocalizing, people have been doing that on the horn for years. Like King Curtis and all the screamers would vocalize to get to change the timbre of the sound. Dewey Redman used it in such a melodic way, and that was the first time, I think, the first place where I realized what the melodic potential was there. And Mats Gustafsson, yeah.
So there are people who've done this sort of thing before, but you do it all at once, you do all these techniques at one point. And then putting it together over a trio of records under the rubric New History Warfare.
Yes.
What does that title refer to?
When I was making the first record, I really wanted to sum up this idea of meaning, how it seems to be the pinnacle of consciousness is finding meaning within all things, and not only attributing meaning to our lives, but also living our lives in such a way so that they have meaning that supersedes us, mm-hmm. that we leave behind legacy. So New History Warfare was just my way of trying to sum all that up in a little bit of a phrase, and I like the way that the words sound together.
Mm-hmm. And it's gone to three volumes. This new one, you mm-hmm. think, will be the
it's the end.
It's the end of
the epic conclusion.
There's no more meaning.
Well, I wanted to tell this story. I wanted it to be. I love the cinematic trilogy, the theatrical three act, and so I knew that that's the way it would be when I started it, and that this one is very much an ending for me mm-hmm. In this story.
And how much of a story? I mean, that piece was called Among the Seth.
Yeah.
Who or what are the Seth?
The Seth are it's like an octopus. They've all come out of the ocean and they live on land now, and they prop themselves up and walk around like people, and they actually scavenge the dead and wear their clothes and skin.
Hmm. So this is like. There's a part of this that we're missing, isn't there?
I've been writing it's kind of like not these records aren't about this story, but I've been writing kind of like a corollary, a parallel, with this graphic novel, a surrealistic sort of graphic novel,
and a post-apocalyptic thing. Maybe it sounds like
it's not necessarily post-apocalyptic.
Really, land octopi wearing our clothes and skin. It sounds pretty post-apocalyptic to me.
I prefer to think of it as parallel. It's another
alternate
time and place, but not necessarily that one.
All right, so there is a story going through this trilogy of records.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's the purely musical story, and it's worth mentioning that you have told this story without words for the most part. Although there are voices on this latest record, the overdubbed voices of Justin Vernon.
Justin Vernon
from
on
the band
Volume 3,
Bon Iver.
And Sarah Warden and Laurie Anderson on Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline that matters most is the storyline within the music, the one that is implied, the one that is intended, and that hopefully people are getting.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocal presences, I feel, they bring a humanity. They're able to bring a human face.
And
punctuate the record, the music.
I mean, it's been shown that, the human brain responds differently to the voice.
Yes, it does.
than to any other uh-huh. form of... So that was part of what you were playing with here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have a strange relationship with the music that I make, and I find it that it can be rather... I don't want to use the word strange, but otherworldly. I mean, it tends to be very detached, I think, from people's personal experience.
Yeah.
So with telling these stories, I really I needed to have that human, that quality of language, of human voice there as a bridge.
And there is something, there is a kind of alien feel to a lot of your music. I mean, we know it's a saxophone, but it's not a saxophone the way we've heard it played before. Have you had to modify the instrument at all to be able to do, say, you know, the two-note repeated rhythmic motif in that last work while you're still doing the quick runs on top?
No, I've not played with preparing the horns at all or modifying them, although that would probably be really fun.
Maybe I should have kept my big mouth shut. You're doing enough with the instrument as it is. How do you get two distinct lines of music going at the same time?
It's all playing in the in-betweens. If we're to, and we call this voicing in sax world, by voicing I don't mean my voice, although
right.
I do sing, but in voicing it's how you're placing your tongue and your throat is that placement that just decides whether you're just going to be playing the root note, the fundamental, and having that sound in a conventional way, or then playing in the in-betweens, what I call that, where you're trying to fit right in between all the partials and thus getting all of them at once. It takes some practice. But
yeah, so you're talking about like getting into the overtone, the harmonic series.
Getting the overtones and then controlling them.
Yeah.
You know, trying to control them independently of one another.
Wow. We're speaking with Colin Stetson and listening to him performing live, unaccompanied, no loops, no pedals, just Colin and this amazing breath and finger control with the saxophones. The latest record's called New History Warfare, Volume 3, To See More Light. And you can catch Colin Stetson here in New York at Le Poisson Rouge on Wednesday, May 8th. And for our listeners at WDET, he'll be playing on Friday, May 17th at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor. He's playing for us here today. Now, you need to, there's no tricks or anything, but there are multiple microphones to pick up all the sound. So you need to, get strapped into the bass sax now, right?
Yeah, everything's strapped. I just need to pick that thing up and put it on my body.
Easier said than done. It is a bass sax, big, heavy instrument. So while, Colin, you go over there and do that, let's listen to a little bit from the record. This song is called And In Truth, and this is one of the ones that features Justin Vernon from Bon Iver on vocals.
Soft ripples spray for long ages now, and I still have my delinquency. Come on, my firm and ready hand. It's no longer a selection. It must be you.
Colin Stetson on saxophone, Justin Vernon doing the only overdubs on the record with his vocals. The song's called And In Truth. Now let's hear Colin solo with the saxophone, the bass saxophone, here in the Soundcheck studio. This tune is called Who the Waves Are Roaring For. It's Colin Stetson live on Soundcheck. Thank you. That is Colin Stetson live on Soundcheck with Who the Waves Are Roaring For, a song that you'll find on his latest record, New History Warfare, Volume 3. Colin Stetson, worth repeating, that's one guy, one sax, no tricks, no loops, no electronics, no pedals, just the key clicks, singing through the instrument, the circular breathing, the multiphonics. Key clicks, that's the kind of thing that you, Colin, as a young, aspiring student sax player, you would have been taught not to make that kind of sound.
And we're oiling our horns all the time trying to get that to lessen the effect of that. In classical world, also, we will go as far as using a little mute, which is a little ring covered in velvet or felt, and then sticking that into the bells to try to absorb some of the brashness of the bell, you know, kind of unsaxing the sax. All of this is just, it's not creating sounds, it's just putting a mic up to all the sounds that are naturally there. It's a very, very noisy instrument, especially the bass. I think it's
just... There's a lot of instrument there with the bass saxophone. What does something like that weigh?
It's about 20 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. Colin Stetson performing Wednesday, May 8th, this Wednesday at Le Poisson Rouge here in New York, Friday, May 17th at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You're from Ann Arbor, right?
I am from Ann Arbor. I spent a lot of time at the Blind Pig.
And you started studying saxophone there?
Yeah.
And at what point did the classical training sort of make a left turn and take you into this world?
The left turn was pretty much right out the gates in high school. I mean, I had already started with my hands and pretty much everything, but it was, I think it was 19. It was somewhere in the end of my freshman year, and I started playing around with something. And I remember the moment I started doing it, I was actually waiting for I was getting ready for a lesson with my professor, Donald Cinta, and I was doing this thing, and he ran in, and I thought he was going to chastise me for doing something that was so crazy, and he was like, "What are you doing?" And I told him, and then he wanted to figure out exactly how I was doing it, so that I knew that I was doing something that somebody found interesting.
Yeah.
But that became, that little first little seed became the first track off of the first volume of these records.
The records being New History Warfare. Volume 3 is out now, subtitled To See More Light. So you're on the road a lot. When you're not on the road, where is home these days?
Home is Montreal.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's a big urban environment. I mean, all this week on Soundcheck, we're asking people, what do you do when you live in a noisy urban place to kind of clear space for you, to clear a sense of sonic space for yourself?
For me, I've found running has become a tremendous part of my life. It was so much a part of my life when I was a kid. I mean, everybody is, you know, when you're a young kid, that's, you're just free, you're running. Mm-hmm. And then throughout like athletics and my teenage years, I was doing that constantly. And, you know, then there were the 20s where you don't need to exercise, so you don't. But I'm not in them anymore. So I found running again, and it's a freeing, it's a meditative space, and I also do a lot of meditating. Mm-hmm. But these things I find combat the noise.
So when you run, it's without headphones, without
usually
earbuds.
I do put something in there.
You do?
I do.
So there's even sound when you're clearing that space for yourself.
I mean, there's a whole host. I mean, I won't put earbuds in if I'm like running in the woods. I do a lot of that, trail running out in Vermont, and that's a different sort of thing because you have a different soundtrack out there, and you maybe want to pay attention to it. When I'm running in the city, I tend to almost like drowning out the noise with something that's more aggressive and more powerful than the city's noise. So I listen to a lot of metal when I'm running.
Okay. Yeah. Colin Stetson with us on Soundcheck today, performing some pieces from his most recent record, New History Warfare, Volume 3. Check out video of Colin's last set of performances here in the Soundcheck studio on our website, soundcheck.org, to see how it's all done. Colin, great record.
Thank you.
A really cool end, towards the end, you do this great version of What Are They Doing in Heaven Today, the old Washington Phillips song.
Yes.
How'd you come across that?
Goodbye Babylon set. I don't know if you've seen that. It's amazing. You have to get it. It's a 6-disc set that I think it was Dusted Digital that put it together. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, they do great stuff.
All these tremendous recordings of pre-war gospel music and sermons, and there's the three pieces that the recordings that have lasted from Washington Phillips are there, and they just, I mean, in a collection that's already full of just bright shining examples, those things shine brighter than any. It's so unique.
Well,
and transcendent.
We'll hear some of Colin's version of that to wrap things up. Colin Stetson with us. This is Soundcheck.
There's some whose hearts were burdened with care, and they paid for a moment to fight and in tears, but they clung to the cross with a trembling fear. But what are they doing there now? There's some whose bodies were full of disease. Physicians and doctors couldn't give them much ease, and they suffered till death brought a final release. What are they doing there now? What are they doing in heaven?